Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion and we'll... Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. So that's the number one thing, is to discern the body of Christ. Whatever you do, you should ask yourself why you do it. You know, I've kind of been around and asked a lot of questions, been to a lot of different places, you know, and one of our adventures was we were supposed to go to different churches and ask questions, you know, and watch and see why they do things the way they do it. And one peculiar question I had was asked about communion. And I heard all these different things. Said, well, you can't pass an offering plate without taking communion. Wow. And I thought, okay. And I said, well, I asked somebody else. I said, well, that's what we do on the first Sunday of every month. Okay. And I asked other questions and there just wasn't any logical answers. I didn't run into any biblical answers. Paul said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early is because they don't discern the body of Christ. And God gave us... How many of you have had to choke down those little rice wafers that they give for the communion? You can't discern the body of Christ with the rice wafer. God gave us particular directions on how to make this. This is called mitzvah bread. And it typifies the body of Christ. And in it you can see Jesus. This bread, by the way, is made without yeast. That means it's sinless. Jesus' body was perfectly without sin in every way. And this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was certainly beaten for us. He was beaten for us. He was wounded for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. Also, it's been pierced. It's been pierced. He was certainly pierced for us. And this bread is also slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when He got on that cross. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Him. And His body was broken. All of these things are for our healing. Jesus, Your body was broken, and it's by Your stripes that we are healed. And we receive Your healing. We receive Your well-being. We thank You for it. Jesus, Your body not only was broken, but Your blood was shed all over the place. It wasn't spilt. It was no accident. It was on purpose. He is our ultimate sacrifice, and You did it on purpose for us. Your blood was shed all over the place. Your blood is the forgiveness of our sins. It made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your blood protects us. We thank You for this. Well, praise God. Isn't everything about God so much better than what a man can design? Even the mitzvah bread tastes wonderful to me. Amen. And that rice wafer would still be stuck to your teeth when you go down to the buffet to eat fried chicken. Amen. By the way, if you're curious of why we have church service, why we start at 10 o'clock in the morning, so we can beat the Baptists to the buffet. Well, we did have children's church today. So, you guys, Miss Connie, can go back there and have an adventure. I don't know what you're going to do. But there's cake back there, too. I seen it.
Well, that's one way to
fry it. Kids look forward to going to church when they get to go to children's church. They don't have to sit up here and be still with me. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6 and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and guides us. We thank you in the name of Jesus for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given unto us. And we can open up your Bible. We can learn of Jesus as we take his yoke upon us. Father, we thank you that all is well with us. And it's because of the shed blood of Jesus. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. We'll continue on with our study on creative love giving. And in case some of you that are new noticed that we don't pass a basket around here. And we put one back there in the back. I believe that giving should be personal between you and God. And I'm not a pulpiteer, and I'm not going to ever pressure anybody into giving. I think that's wrong on every level. But I think a man should set aside some time between yourself and God and ask God how, when, and where, and how much. And what it's between you and him. And then you can prayerfully put it in your basket as you worship God. That makes sense. Amen. We've been talking about creative love giving. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Galatians chapter 6 gives us a very good insight on how we should look on a brother in trouble. Now the first spot I want you to look at is in verse 2. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Did you notice that? In just a few verses later, down here in verse 5, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." You know, I read that and I thought, he just told us to bear one another's burdens. And then 3 verses later, he said, we got to bear our own burdens. Which is it? We just flip a coin? Well, I had to study it out. And I found out in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens," that word is boros. That's a weight. It's anything that's pressing on one physically or makes a demand on one's resources materially or spiritually. Literally, we need to sympathize with our brothers in need when they're having a burden like that. Show mercy on them and love. Don't browbeat them. Don't browbeat a fallen brother. Don't browbeat a fallen brother. And so you fulfill the love of Christ. See, sometimes people will fall under great pressure. You know, it could be a financial pressure. We don't know. They could have vehicle troubles. They could have financial troubles caused by an illness. We don't know what kind of pressure that man may be under. There could be great spiritual pressure. Sometimes witches, you know, there's witches around. It's not a mystical thing. There really is covens, and they will point out, they will pick out particular people to pray against. You want to talk about some pressure? You know, there's pastors that get prayed against. Amen. One time, I witnessed to a lady, and she got born again, and she started going to church, and I thought that was great. Well, there was this other lady that started trying to get her off course and get her out there in no man's land, and she didn't believe in nothing, so there was pressure on that new born-again person. And I was in bed one night just sleeping like a rock, and all of a sudden God told me to pray now, get up and pray now. I got up and I prayed, and I didn't know what I was praying for, so I was praying in tongues and praying and praying and praying and praying, and finally he gave me some insight on what was going on, and it was that lady again, a pain in my butt. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally got done. I ran into that lady at the gas station, and she's just jabbering at me, and I thought, man, I had to just cast the devil out of you. And then I thought, well, okay, I'm going to just keep my tongue and let the Holy Spirit take care of this one. It wasn't 6 hours later I ran into her, and she was born again. She went down to, I don't know, she was berating me or something at my pastor, and he got her born again. Praise God. Sometimes we just got to love people enough to just stop and pray for them. Amen? Stop and pray for them. You don't know what kind of pressure a man may be under. That's part of carrying their boros, helping them carry their burden. You know, sometimes you don't know what you could give a financial gift to somebody, and you don't know what kind of relief that may give them. It may be a small thing to you, but to that particular guy, it could be a huge thing. A huge thing. You know, one time I had a set of tires on my pickup, and I'm pretty sure you could see air through those tires. I was dodging rocks with this thing. And they'd been patched so many times till I thought, oh, man, one little thing, I could be on foot. And all of a sudden there was an envelope with $1,000 in my box. Oh, where it came from, it was just there. Well, that was a set of tires. It may have been a small thing to whoever gave it, but it was a huge thing to me at the time. Amen? You don't know. You really don't know. But when you let God lead you and ask Him who you could possibly help, a little thing to you is a huge thing to somebody else. You know, we built a sidewalk. The church built a sidewalk for a couple. And that lady is just so absolutely overjoyed she's so happy about this sidewalk. And I said, well, we're not done. She said, well, what do you mean? So we're going to make it where you can drive your pickup there and get out on concrete and walk up there. And she said, you're kidding me. No. She was about ready to cry. It's not that big of a thing to us. Go out there and get dirty. You know, we find the youngster in the crowd to do the hard work. I'm not pointing any fingers, but look, your little thing can be a huge thing to somebody else. It's a valuable thing in the kingdom of God. That next burden that we were talking about is fortune. That is a task or service, as in his discipleship of Christ. It's a light burden, but he must do it himself. See, we can bear the borrowed burdens of somebody else, help bear them up. I can't, however, walk out your walk for Christ for you. You know, I can't go out into all the world and preach the gospel for you. You know, I can't do the things that he told you to do for you. See, the church somehow has gotten these reversed. They want a handful to do the fortune for them, and then they don't want to do none of the boros. But it's important for us to, as a church body, to go out and try to help with the burdens of the world that around us, the brothers around us. But it's also important for the church to pick up their part of the fortune and go out into the world and share the gospel. Amen? You know, we've been talking about this creative love giving. I want you to know that there's seven truths related to a life of giving. These words came straight from the mouth of Wayne Myers. He was teaching this at our school, and I wrote down every word he said. This guy was such an amazing man to me that I wrote down what he said. Learn from other people's experience. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. James, John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? And then go down to verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus said, what is it that you would want me to do? Jesus lived to give. Everywhere he went, he was about meeting the needs of somebody else. This is the blessing, you know. He had whatever it took to meet the needs at the present time. Too many times people get confused about the blessing and they equate it with money. The blessing is somebody's sick, you can get that anointing flowing to meet the needs of that sick person. If somebody's lost, you can get that anointing flowing so you can get them born again. If somebody needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, you can pray with them. Amen. So that they can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If somebody needs baptized in water, you can find a horse trough and dunk them. See, you can do that. Amen. We do have a baptismal over here, and I keep it clean. I go wipe the spiders out of it, you know. But if somebody needs baptized, and you got a water trough there, dunk them. Amen. Get it done. See, my job is to equip you to go out into the world and minister to the people. Amen? We got to make sure we got our ducks in a row. So Jesus lived to give. He was the one man that was born to die. That's the ultimate gift. God gave him. That was his seed he planted in this earth, and he's produced millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of Christians. Amen. You know, I got to studying one time and I found out David, he was an ultimate giver. King David. I figure that he gave over $100 million. The gold and silver that he brought in there to the temple. That was over and above what he was already required to give. But in that story, it was his affection. He wanted that temple to be built. And he wanted that ark to be in that temple. He wanted the heart of God to be in the middle of everything that he was doing. Amen. Give of your own treasure. Be joyful. You're only a steward of what you have. You don't own anything. Here's the thing. Stewardship gets twisted. People think they're being a good steward of God's money when they see how much money they can save him. One thing I've heard is we got to set on our money. We got to set on our money and make sure we don't spend any. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's not biblical at all. Being a good steward of God's money is getting it out there in the mission field. We got 7 or 8 different missions that we support around the world. And getting involved in the community. Amen? Getting involved in the community. Be a living well. Just keep pumping out there. Keep going out there and doing something in the community. Amen? It's not about advertising for the church. It's about carrying the boros of the people around the church. Amen? You know, some people sit around and they say, why would I go to church? God's never done nothing for me. Literally. I've never seen God do anything. Why is that? Because we've got a lot of bench warmers. Got a lot of people sitting in church every time the doors swing open, but they're not being the church when they step back out there. You're missing out on all the excitement. I tell you, the coolest thing that you're ever going to see in life is when you go pray for somebody and they start changing, and then somebody is watching, and they sit there and they look at you and they think, Well, I've never seen God do anything before. Can I go to church? Yeah, you can go to church. That really does happen. I've witnessed that firsthand. I've seen God do something in somebody's life, and then pretty soon people start looking and say, wow. And then they start going to church, and somebody else starts going to church. Amen. This is all part of giving. This is part of giving your time, too. Giving of your talents, your time, not just your money, but you know, you have talents that you can use. Getting out into the community and being the church. Look at Psalms chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Pretty much everything belongs to God. Yeah. I mean, we put brands on our animals and we put our names on titles and we, you know, all this stuff, God owns it. You just won't get over it. One guy, he got born again, one rancher, he got born again, and he went and had a little cross added to his brand. Just constant reminder. Amen. God owns it. He lets us enjoy it. We're stewards of it, so we need to just, that's how we be good stewards of it, by using it to get other people born again. Amen? So we get people born again, one at a time. The second truth we need to understand is to just start giving where you're at. You don't have to wait for your ship to come in. You know, I knew a guy that was going to prisons preaching, and these guys said, what do we got to give? They started giving pencils, buttons, off their shirts, crayons, whatever they could find, they'd give. They put it in the basket. And then, but what was he doing? They didn't have much in prison, but they give what they had, and then pretty soon their lives started turning around. You know, one guy, he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this was in a bad place, and he got so wrapped up in this that he started changing people. I mean, people started changing around him. They had a revival in this prison, and it got so wild until finally the warden and the parole board, they brought him in there and they said, it's impossible for you to be up for parole. And it's actually against the law for us to let you out. But we're going to let you out. We're going to parole you on one condition, that you come here every Sunday and preach. Amen. See, God can change things around for you. Now look over to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Jesus, answering, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgaveth most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. This woman, she didn't come in there with any pretenses. She came in there broken. She had absolutely nothing left but an alabaster box of perfume, and she poured it on his feet. She worshiped him. She gave what she had. And her account got wrote down in the Bible. And the Pharisees said, she's a sinner. When somebody who has completely blown it, some of us have blown it in big proportions, big ways. Preachers used to tell me I was going to hell. Well, they were right. But they never would give me the answer. Some of them would hide from me. Finally, one preacher showed up and he said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess him to be Lord, you shall be saved. Does anybody want to get born again? My hand went up in the air. I thought, that's the first guy I ran into that didn't tell me I was going to go to hell. I didn't know anything else, but I was smart enough to know that I was going to get me some fire insurance. You know why I got born again? Because I didn't want to go to hell. Period. That's why I got born again. There's no other reason. I got born again because I didn't want to go to hell. And if people have any truth in their body, they'll be the same way. Amen. I didn't get born again because I love God so much. I didn't know God from a goat. I didn't know anything. All I knew is this cowboy preacher was standing in front of me saying that Jesus died for my sins. And I thought, man, I had a lot of them. I was scared. I was scared out of my skull. The devil had me so bamboozled. If I seen a preacher, I could see a preacher a block away. If I seen one, I would go around, I'd do whatever I'd do. I'd avoid that rascal. One of them showed up on the TV, off the TV went. I wasn't going to hear no more about that going to hell business. I knew. Man, sometimes it felt like I had one foot in the fire already. I was scared. But you know what? Somebody gave that preacher some money, and he bought some gas with it and some Bibles, and he drove all the way to Wyoming from Texas, all the way up there, got me born again. Praise God. You see why it's so important to support all the fivefold ministries? somebody might get born again, and they might end up in your life. Did you have any idea? Did you have any idea when you gave Glenn Smith any money that he was going to go up all the way up to Wyoming, get me born again, so that 10 years later he could have a school so that I could come down here and preach to y'all? Did you have any idea that was God did? He had that all figured out. Amen? He had that all figured out. His ways are so much better than ours. We just let Him do it. Let Him be God in your life. You know, this lady, she gave with a heart full of gratitude. Do you realize that we know the price of everything and the value of nothing? Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs God everything, His Son. You know, Jesus, He never done anything wrong. And He had never been out of the presence of His Father. Ever. And He laid all that aside and came down here, and He was found in the fashion of a man. He is a flesh and blood man. He never made any mistakes. He certainly didn't deserve death. Now here's an interesting thing. The Jews, when they wanted somebody punished, if it was a punishment that didn't deserve death, they'd have them scourged. If it was a punishment that deserved death, they'd just take them straight to the cross. But Jesus both got scourged and He got the cross. The Bible tells us that by His stripes we were healed. That's when He got His scourge. The Bible tells us that cursed is a man that hangeth on a tree. Jesus got on that cross and took our curse, the curse that was meant for us. We deserved the cross. We deserved the cross. But He took that so that we could take what He deserved. Amen? We freely receive it. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. So I want every single head bowed and I want every eye closed. And there's some people listening. These videos go out all over the place. They're on Facebook and on the website. Everybody have your eyes closed and your heads bowed. We bow our head out of reverence to God. And we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbor. You know, sometimes people want to make a personal decision for Christ and it's nobody else's business at that time. Now, if you would like to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this is how you do it. You say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I thank You for that. I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I make You my Lord. And this day, I confess You, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord, be my Savior. Thank You, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, if you said that for the first time, you're born again. You've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. The next step is to continue getting fed His Word. Jesus said to take His yoke upon you and learn of Him. The more we learn of Him, the more revelation we get of Him. The more revelation we get of Him, the more of Him we receive. Amen. Well, Father, we thank You and we praise You for everything that Jesus has done for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. We thank You for everything that He is doing for us now in our redemption, our protection, our salvation. We thank You for everything that He will do for us when our redemption is complete. Jesus, You are our High Priest. And we receive You and Your blessings. And we thank You, Father, for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and cake and kids. Come on back and get one.